As you know, today is World Preeclampsia Day, and the Ending Eclampsia Project is a co-sponsor, along with the Preeclampsia Foundation, Baby Center, the International Society for Studies of Hypertension in Pregnancy, and the PRECISE Project. World Preeclampsia Day is meant to bring together maternal health advocates and experts, all of you, to not only discuss the ways in which preeclampsia and eclampsia impact women and babies, but also to talk about the challenges that women and girls face when accessing antenatal care and early detection of risk factors like chronic hypertension, kidney disease, obesity, and diabetes, as well as the management and treatment of long-term chronic health complications associated with preeclampsia. The Ending Eclampsia Project is conducting research in these areas in Bangladesh, Ethiopia, Kenya, Nigeria, and Pakistan. And in all of these countries, we've spoken to women who have had very little knowledge and awareness of complications in pregnancy until they themselves experienced one. As Sarah mentioned, I was recently in Ethiopia and I met an eclampsia survivor. She's now 5 months postpartum and has a really healthy baby boy, but pregnancy was the first time she had ever stepped foot in a health facility. And throughout her pregnancy, she had experienced several of the symptoms that we know are associated with preeclampsia. She had constant headaches and blurry vision, but she went to 8 antenatal care visits, which we also all know is pretty uncommon for women in low and middle income countries. And at each visit, her providers measured her blood pressure, but none of them told her that it was high or why they were measuring it. She was told that what she was feeling was normal for a pregnant woman, and after one contact point with the health system, she was sent home with paracetamol to treat her headaches. And one evening in the 8th month of her pregnancy, she started having seizures and she collapsed in her home. The next morning, her husband was able to borrow a car and he drove her to their church, believing that holy water and prayer could save her. But when her condition didn't improve, he took her back to their local healthcare facility. And from there, providers referred her to a higher level hospital. She doesn't remember the time she spent in the hospital, but she knows now that she was given magnesium sulfate to stop the seizures. And she was also given an emergency cesarean section. She woke up 5 days later after her cesarean section to find out that she had delivered a healthy baby. Now, after leaving the hospital, she went back to the healthcare facility 2 times for postnatal care. And the first visit, she and her baby were both examined, but at the second visit, only her baby was examined. That second visit was 5 months ago, and she hasn't had any contact with the health system in Ethiopia since that time. She still experiences the same symptoms that she experienced when she was pregnant. She has really bad headaches and very blurry vision. And as I was sitting in her living room talking to her, she pointed to her ribcage and told me that she was still experiencing abdominal pain in that moment. So this is a woman who did exactly what she's supposed to do. She did exactly what we encourage pregnant women to do. She went early and often for antenatal care, and she talked to her providers about the symptoms that she was experiencing. And despite that, she was never told that what she was experiencing were symptoms of preeclampsia. It wasn't until I, via my translator, told her that what she had gone through wasn't normal and was in fact a life-threatening complication in pregnancy. Now, this woman's story may be anecdotal, but we've all seen in our work that what she went through is fairly common for women in low and middle-income countries, where challenges they encounter are quite different from the barriers that women in high-income countries deal with. And so today's conversation is going to address detection, management, and treatment in both contexts, and is specifically going to focus on the non-communicable diseases that increase women's risk for preeclampsia, as well as the NCDs that are possible long-term complications. And so with that, I will hand it over to Jill, and thank you so much.